And welcome to a special edition of Common Ground here on Saturday, February 1st. Welcome, everybody. And it's one of our guests' birthday today, Sherry. Hayden Padgett's birthday. We'll talk about that. We'll wish him maybe sing for him. So we have a very special show that we put together real quickly, actually. And welcome first back, Sherry Sousa, who missed the last show with Frisco City Council.
I know, I was sad.
You missed a good one. I needed you, too.
You did a really good job.
But I needed some real humor. I couldn't get that in that show.
We had a lot of people. It was good.
It was good. And we've got about 1,500 views on that. And that just broadcast on Thursday. So it usually takes for a week for us to get really momentum, but we had 1,000 by the time that evening came.
Wow.
But today, because of the situation going on in Austin with the GOP on the state level, we brought in two really talented and young Republicans, which is really good to see, by the way. Not that I'm saying anything about my party or anything.
Right. But anytime young people are involved.
Yeah, that's what I like to see. Democrats, Republicans, right. Independents, Libertarians, just get involved in politics is good for me. So we have Tony Ortiz here and Hayden Padgett. Now, Tony and Hayden, I'll give you a little background. But for our audience, this show is about the Log Cabin Republicans. And if you're not familiar with them, that's a gay organization that's, I guess, trying to be more involved in the Republican Party, and these two gentlemen have their separate opinions on it, which I'm not going to give it away. So we're going to start. So Tony, just a quick introduction about yourself, you know, less than a minute, and then we'll let Hayden describe himself and his activities, and then we'll get right into the topic.
Yeah, my name is Tony Ortiz. I'm a traditionalist, an American, and that's really it. Those are the only labels I kind of use to identify myself. A lot of people know, I worked on the Trump campaign. I've worked on a couple of city council elections. That's really about it. Not too special.
Yes, you are. You're special. You're here today.
All right.
And Hayden, go ahead.
So I'm Hayden Padgett. I'm the chairman of the Texas Young Republicans, which is the youth group for 18 to 40 year olds here in Texas. We're part of the National Young Republicans. In addition to that role, I'm also a precinct chair in Collin County, where I live with my new bride. We've been married for about a month now.
Oh, congratulations. Wow.
So that's me.
I did see a picture you were on your honeymoon. Were you at Disney?
We were at Disney.
Right.
Disney World specifically, because Star Wars Land opened up, and it was awesome.
I saw that a couple
times. I heard it's really awesome.
I've went to Disney twice, and every time I go, I'm like, I'm too old for this. And then I go, and I'm like, this is actually really awesome. It's really a good time.
I know I'm not trying enough topic, but did you do the Fast Pass or anything like that?
We did. So we have been going to Disney about once a year for the last few years since we started dating. And we've kind of got it down to a science. If you have to have fast passes really early in the morning.
Got it. And I don't want to talk about Disney.
I was going to say, let's fast pass into our topic. Let's get it.
So
I'm
going to
find common ground right now.
No, because I'm Team Universal.
That's true. So I'll start off real quick. So the proverbial elephant in the room, since we are talking about the GOP.
Clever.
There you go. Thank you. I thought about that one at like 2 in the morning. Elephant in the room. There you go. And also, we're talking about Reagan's Big Ten. If people are familiar with that, back in the day with Ronald Reagan, he talked about being more inclusive for Republicans. And there seems to be a situation, a review for our audience, the SREC, which is State Republican Executive Committee. If I have that acronym wrong, please correct me.
Nope, you got it.
They met to see first the other day, they voted if the Log Cabin Republicans, which is that gay organization, would be a coalition group. I believe they voted no. Correct me if I'm wrong.
And then, just to clarify, what happened was that question had come up last meeting, so about 3 months ago.
Okay.
And it was tabled, so there was no vote on it. And then it just wasn't brought off the table again in committee. So there's still a vote today. It's possible it could be voted on today.
Oh, as a coalition.
As a coalition.
But it has to be brought off the table first?
It has to be brought. So an SREC member has to say, I want to consider this and have a vote on it. But in the committee meeting, no one did. So that's
I had to be brought up to speed quickly on this because I'm not familiar with
this. And tell our audience when the convention is.
The convention is in May.
Okay.
And then it is a little cake. It's a little difficult to understand the minutiae of how these votes work and how the processes work there.
And then from what I read, and both of you can chime in by all means, is that I think they're also putting in a petition to have a booth at the convention, which is just people, just so you know, it's like you could have a vendor booth there, you can have a group booth, and so they, from what I heard, that They were going to vote on that as well.
Yeah, and they've been trying to get a booth for a number of conventions now. It's not the first time they've asked for one.
Okay, so let's start at that. So, taking the position, Tony, from what you're here for, why shouldn't the Log Cabin Republicans be allowed to be a coalition group or have a booth at the state convention?
Yeah, so I mean, the Republican Party of Texas has planks, and their foundation of planks, and there's over 300, or maybe that's the exact number, and it's actually kind of ridiculous how many planks there are. And it's almost impossible to
build a boat with all those planks.
I know, right? I guess you would need a big tent to fill all those planks.
Sure.
But I think in order to have a booth, you have to follow the foundational planks or the planks. And it's actually one of the things I read a great article by Adam, and I'm butchering his last name. Is it Kamen or Kamen? And he had a good point: is that there's several other vendors at the Republican Party's convention that don't agree with the planks. I think you have toll road lobbyists, you have Texas Alliance for Life that don't actually follow the planks. And I would stand with being firm on that too. They shouldn't be allowed to have a booth either if they're not following the planks. I mean, it's kind of unfair actually to Log Cabin Republicans that they were the first group to be, you know, held to these rules, right? But they're not putting that against the Texas Alliance for Life or these toll road lobbyists, right?
And why do you suppose that is, Mr. Ortiz?
Yeah, it's very interesting, right? And it's actually that's a good point. And I think that's a problem with all political parties. They don't have they don't follow the rules. They're not consistent, right? I mean, that's why we have rules, that's why we have planks, is because they should be followed to a T. And if you don't like that,
then get rid of the plank.
Get rid of the planks or vote it out. You vote. That's what we can do. We vote.
Change the rule.
Yeah,
the rule is that you can't violate the planks. You can't endorse Democrats. You can't support Democrats.
Well, that makes sense.
Rule, apply that consistently.
Yeah,
to what you're saying, Tony. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Oh, hit the bell.
I'll get you too.
But I think I'll actually take that a little step further, because it's one thing to violate or not say violate, but not support one of the planks in the platform. It's another thing to actively support non-Republicans, to actively support candidates who are not supporting what we as a party do. And I think at root, yes, we have a platform that's important, but the most important thing the party does is elect Republicans. And if you are somehow doing something that is not electing Republicans or actively against that goal, that's a more serious problem for me. And we have a couple of vendors who do endorse Democrats. We have a couple of vendors who do provide funds to Democrats. And if that's the case, like, if your rule is, as long as you just want to come in and have a booth, that's fine. Apply that consistently.
So is there some hypocrisy?
Yeah, absolutely. He's actually correct on that. And I totally agree with you. You slam that. That's fine.
Well, good grief, boys. I thought y'all were going to tear it up.
There's a portion.
Let's start
on
think.
Yes. This is really funny because we're actually agreeing a lot more. This is what's really unfair to Log Cabin Republicans, is that these rules aren't applied universally or strictly by the standard that's set. And maybe that's a foundational problem with the Republican Party, and maybe they need to do some thinking on why they're not and why they're only targeting one group. But
we all know. Let's just talk about the elephant.
Sure.
It's because of the marriage situation.
Right. Well, that's one of their planks. It's pretty much.
Yeah.
It's not just one of the planks. One of the principles. They have these 10 principles that are like the guiding beliefs, and that's one of those. The traditional marriage.
Right. Principle. So, I guess my question to the Republican Party would be, does every single person who takes that label agree wholeheartedly with every single plank regularly all the time?
Well, I think if you have a booth, I think I wouldn't even. That's why I wouldn't have a booth, right?
Yeah.
I don't even. I'm sure, and I don't know all 300 planks, so I'm not going to pretend that I do. But I don't think
even the chair of that committee knows
probably
all 300 planks.
But I think that I could probably find 10, 15 planks that I don't agree with. But I'm also not trying to set up a booth.
Right.
And neither is my organization.
But you just said that some groups are there that shouldn't be there. So why is this against the Log Cabin Republicans? If you're going to make exceptions for one, you should make exceptions for
all. I'm not saying that they should make exceptions at all. I would say those groups currently have actively been allowed to have a table or in queue to have a table. They should be booted out too. If Log Cabin Republicans is being booted out because they're not following planks, so should these other groups. We have these standards for a reason. They have planks for a reason. They should be followed. And if they're not, then boot them out too. There needs to be consistency.
I think that's kind of at the heart of the discussion, really. It's not about should they have a booth or should they not. It's more of like, how are you applying the rules and are you being consistent in it? And if we agree, which sounds like we do, that the rule needs to be applied consistently, no matter what organization it is, then I think the real debate is, should we allow groups to have a presence if they don't agree with every platform plank? And that's an interesting debate for us to have.
So is this just on the booth or on the coalition part?
Well, so the booth is one part, and that's probably an easier question to deal with. I think we are all in agreement that as long as you're applying it consistently, you should kind of have one side or the other, and then it's pretty clear on the rules. The coalition one's a little bit different because that's a formal partnership. Now, there's to get into kind of details on there, there's two levels of partnerships in the party. There is an auxiliary status, which is basically you're like the top partner, like the primary group, and then there's a coalition partnership. It's a little more loose. And the point there is actually to have a big tent. The purpose of the coalition grouping is to have people who are not necessarily 100% with the party on everything, but agree on the basic principles.
So that's the purpose of the coalition. My question, so your organization, though, why Young Republicans has come out to support the coalition and the booth, or just the booth?
Both.
Okay. And see, that's where I think I would fundamentally disagree. The booth thing, I think we agree on that. It's unfair to them, but only really because they're not.
So you both agree they should have a booth?
No, I'm saying no, they shouldn't have a booth. But I'm also saying
I think we're agreeing that if they're going to allow a booth to people who don't agree with all the platforms,
which they don't,
who don't only support Republicans, who also support Democrats, then they should have a booth.
Tony's saying he agrees by default because they're not going to go kick out the other.
Right, because
they should though, and right. I would say they absolutely should step in and say, if you're endorsed Democrats or if you don't agree with 100% of our planks, then they should boot them out too. That's where I think that Log Cabin Republicans is being treated unfairly from the booth status, right?
Yeah. Why not the coalition then?
Yeah, go ahead.
Paul, I want to make sure that we kind of state what I think you're saying. That way I make sure I understand. So you're basically saying you need to be consistent. And so you either, if you're going to make exceptions for them too on the booth. If you're not going to make exceptions, then that's fine.
Yeah, because
but be consistent across the board.
There's no consistency.
And honestly, if you're not going to make the exception for them, then why don't we just call it what it is? Discrimination or no?
I think that's pushing it.
That's tough. Like, there's
today they do make exceptions. So the vote today from the SREC, if there are people, the tall people and these other organizations that you mentioned, then they should allow, or they should say today, your groups are out. You're out. If we're not gonna make exceptions, then everybody's out or everybody's in.
Well, that's where this 80-20 the Reagan argument is, right? 80% my ally, 20% my enemy, right? And on paper that makes sense.
Until you put human nature in it.
Yeah, until you put
80-20 rule works everywhere.
Yeah. So you've got I would say the same thing for Republican and pro-abortion groups. If you said, hey, the pro-abortion Republican group cares about low taxes and low unemployment and small government and, you know, all of that good fiscal stuff, should they be allowed to have a booth? And the default, the immediate emotional reaction and answer for everybody is, well, absolutely not. Of course not. We don't want a pro-abortion group. You would say the same thing for like a communist group. Okay, we agree on all the social issues possibly, but we disagree on some fiscal issues. You know, I'm still 20% your only 20% your ally. And then you have to ask yourself, well, how much a percentage are we talking about? How much a percentage of an enemy are we allowing? How much of an ally do you have to be? Is it really just 80? And then how do you define that? And that's why we're at where we're at today, is that we don't have set standards. It's all very just like willy-nilly, kind of everybody does whatever they want. And you almost apply that to, I mean, you constantly hear that line with like immigration, right? They need to come in, but they need to come in legally, right? Which I don't agree with that, but that's another argument. But, and another discussion.
Well, I think
we'll have you back for that one.
Right, but I think that's actually a really, really great example of it. I think immigration issue is a really perfect way of talking about the need for a big tent. Because I think what we're basically saying is that there are certain, is my belief of the Republican Party, is that its purpose is to elect candidates who will enact certain principles of government, not of morality or society, but certain principles of government. And
isn't abortion a morality?
I'll get there. I'm just using the specific example of immigration. The principle that I think all Republican groups, as far as I know, in the party agree on is that we need to have secure borders, we need to have a legal immigration process. Now, where is it?
See, I would disagree with this. There's quite a few Republicans that have been endorsed by the Republican Party or YR's.
I just want to hear his final.
They don't support the wall. They are pro-immigration. They're pro like H-1B. They're pro increasing the amount of immigration. They're very anti-Trump. I mean, the Dallas GOP is famous for this traditionally. They were very anti-Trump.
So are they allowed to go to the
convention? That's exactly what I'm trying to say. You don't need to be pro-Trump or anti-Trump. You can be both and be in the party. The question is what you do when the general election comes. Like, for instance, there was a lot of people who really didn't like Trump. And there were a lot of people who really didn't like Cruz across the country. But then when it came down to the general election, the expectation in the party is you shut up and you back the nominee. And if that's Trump or Cruz, doesn't matter. You back them and you make sure they get elected.
Rather them than a Democrat.
Exactly. And that's the really huge problem that most people in the Republican Party have with the Never Trump movement. Was like, that's your job, is just get behind the nominee, and you didn't.
But there's
and I think the immigration one is a really another good example, because yes, you're right. There are Republicans who think we need to increase H-1B visas. There are Republicans who think that the wall is not an effective way to secure the border. Now, I disagree with that perspective on the wall specifically. The thing that's important is we agree on the principle that we do need to secure our borders. We do need to have some kind of legal immigration process, and we can't just have open borders. And so the disagreement on the policies, I think, is important for us to be able to have a dialogue to get to the best policy solutions. That's the reason we have a Senate. That's the reason we have a House of Representatives, to debate these things. And if, as a party, we start excluding people who have detailed differences, who disagree on the specific policies, I think we're limiting our ability to actually engage in the right conversations.
I want to jump in, and I know you want to argue back, and maybe you should, but... Okay, so then explain to me where that group would stand when we scoot back in time to the old bathroom bill. Like, you know, that's getting pretty gray, pretty crazy. How's that work? Help me understand.
Help me understand the question.
Well, I'm just saying with that, then you're going to have somebody with in your own group, a very loud grassroots effort that would probably, I would imagine, rage against that move.
So in other words, with a log cabin Republicans for the bathroom bill with transgender and stuff like that. I think that's what you're asking.
Yes.
And I don't recall.
And log cabin Republicans, and I'm talking about the national group, and that's what everybody keeps telling me, is that the log cabin Republicans nationally is way different from log cabin in Texas, which I think is an issue. If you don't agree with the national group, just relabel yourself. Maybe they should call themselves something else or distance themselves as much as possible.
So conservative in Texas?
Well, the log cabin Republicans nationally didn't endorse Trump in 2016, even after he won the nomination, which is actually counter to your point, where in the end we need to like get together and just support the nominee.
And I agree with you. That was a mistake on their part.
So then I would say, why is log cabin Republicans of Texas not distancing themselves from log cabin nationally? Why are they just not starting their own organization? There's nothing that stops them from doing that. And if it's a funding issue, well, then that gets back to my point we were discussing earlier. It's all about money.
But Tony, would you, so then if they were separate, whatever they call themselves, log cabin of Texas, so then you would let them be in the coalition separate themselves?
It's still against, there's still foundational.
Right, so it doesn't matter in your perspective whether they're part of the national or not.
No, it matters to his argument where they need to, that's the Big Tent argument, right? Is that we're all supposed to come together, and no matter who.
But you get that in every party, though. The Democrats don't always support
substantial amount of Democrats that refused to vote for Hillary. They voted for Bernie still.
Exactly my point. And there were Democrats who voted for Trump.
Yeah, well, there were that really hated.
They're accepted, I'm sure, by the Democratic Party.
But people vote based. I mean, I don't think people should vote based on a color, which is red versus blue. I don't think people should vote based on a party. I think they should vote based on their values.
Yeah, but we just said right here that if you're red, you need to go red.
Well, that's because you're the Republican Party. It's a convention. It's not a convention of values. It's not a conservative party.
Let me ask an obvious question that I had. So. The SREC allows them to become a booth or whatever, and they show up in their booth, and they're sitting they're standing on the convention floor, and say they're saying things that are just contrary to, which they will or they may not, I don't know, that's not the point of my question. So people that don't believe in what they say, they just walk by the booth. They're not going to, you know, it's people saying, oh, you know, I read through social media after we posted it, oh, the log cabins are going to take over the party, and how could they take over the party? They're such a small minority. And so I'm saying to myself, what is the harm if they are traditionalist Republicans, and it seems from what I read on their website that for the most part it sounds like they're Republicans other than the marriage part of it, you know, what's the harm of having them say, you know, speech? I thought that's what we're...
Then what's the harm of having a pro-abortion Republican booth?
Maybe they should, because... Maybe our Republicans.
I think a good chunk of Republicans would agree.
Okay,
there's a difference, though. I see between the issue of abortion, or let me say this: there's a difference between a pro-abortion group and a log cabin, an LGBT group, if you want to use that.
Okay.
That label. I think.
Sorry. Let me interject. I don't think they're LGBT. I thought they were just L&B.
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, that's
what I'm saying. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're
well, see, that's another one of the problems. Not to bash you on it.
Oh,
like,
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Was
that
really
a bad.
That's
all
right. That's all right.
So that and I don't mean to bash you, but this is one of my problems. You just said I don't know, and so why are you making an endorsement, endorsement for a group that you're not sure about?
If I said I don't know, that was my mistake. I know that they are a gay Republican group.
Okay, so there's no
people keep applying that LGBT.
Okay, so there's no B, T, and Q. It's just L and B.
As I understand it, that's what it is.
Or,
yes.
Sorry, L and G.
Yeah, okay. I was like, where's the B coming from?
Yeah,
ignoring.
Well, the B is supposed to be.
I'll make these letters, and I'm going to put the letters away, and just they are a gay Republican group. Yes.
Okay, but like.
So the point I'm making is in my head, thinking about principles of government, I think there's a distinction between what they're trying to do and what a pro-abortion group would be doing.
That's true.
Because if we talk, like. And you may disagree on, like, maybe this is not the full list, or maybe some of these are not there, but my belief is that the Republican Party stands for three basic principles of government: individual liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government.
Okay, so then would you allow Alex Jones to have a booth at the Republican National Convention?
Tell our audience who Alex Jones is.
At Infowars.com, he's the famous guy who said turns the frogs gay. I mean, would you let him? I mean, he believes he's actually a bigger ally of the Republican Party than technically log cabin Republicans. Would you allow him?
Does he have a group though?
If he's InfoWars.
InfoWars, right?
Yeah, it's huge.
You don't allow InfoWars at the convention?
I don't know if he's ever asked to have a booth.
Okay. Well, let's just say we're talking like hypothetical.
And
so I'm saying, would you?
Yeah, I think he wanted to have a booth there, sure.
Well,
because
what about
we should not be afraid of the debate.
Okay, so then what about a transsexual booth? Would you allow a transsexual booth if they weren't gay? I mean, there's plenty of transsexual or a drag queen booth. There's plenty of drag queens that are straight.
Well,
it's a legitimate question.
It is a legitimate question.
Well, they support small government and low taxes and, you know, freedom and liberty, but they're just a bunch of straight dudes that like to wear dresses. Would you support them having a booth?
If we have not gotten to that point, as far as I know.
No, but that's where we could get.
So you're saying slippery slope? Is that
No, it's not, because I want to get in here, because I don't speak party, and this is kind of like. If that's the case, let's flip that side. Why don't you have an anti-adultery booth at that convention?
Because I don't think
because
that,
we could get into the weeds of
that.
Or you mean some of the cleric people too? Is that
I mean, if we're gonna say, well, we can't have these pro groups, then why don't we work on getting some anti?
So is being anti-adultery, does that go against the planks?
No, I don't know the planks because I'm not a Republican.
I think we both agree that then if this is going against the planks,
think we have a plank saying thou shalt not cheat on your wife. Like, I don't, because that's not the purpose of the plank.
I understand that, but I'm saying
it's assumed. Like,
it's convenient, in my opinion.
What's convenient?
Yeah.
It's convenient to say we can't have these, but we can't have these. And then when you try and connect the dots of
why
we're saying yes,
why,
we can and no, we can't.
See, this is why it's good to have standard sets of planks that we also have set standards for the booths that apply. And this is why this is the whole problem is the Republican Party of Texas should have never made exceptions like for groups that don't agree with their planks. And that's where the problem we're at now is now the log cabin Republicans don't agree with their planks, and now they suddenly decide to enforce against them. And that, I agree, is not fair to log cabin Republicans. But I don't think that just because we're not being fair that we should now suddenly give in. But I'd like to finish my point.
Yeah.
And that's okay. So you didn't really answer my question. Would you allow or would you support if a transsexual, straight transsexual table wanted to set up a party wanted to set up a booth and they were for small government, low taxes, anti-abortion, all that good stuff? Would you allow them to have a booth?
What happens if they dressed up as cats and dogs?
Yeah, exactly. What's would you allow them? They're furries, right? They're 80% ally.
Yeah, let's not make it sexual.
Did you just call them furries?
That's the label.
Well, I'm just saying. So whatever animal or whatever, say they
interesting
dressed up as aliens.
Question,
that's terrible.
again, I come back to, why would they want to have a booth? What would be the purpose
of it? I say the same thing for log cabin Republicans. Why do they want a booth for an action? Like, why are we attaching like a behavior, a sexual behavior to our identity? I mean, do we need a straight booth? This is kind of silly.
I don't see a problem with us having
Well, what if it's...
But nobody is... You just admit it. Like, why are they asking for it? Like, why? Okay, so then...
Well, no, the reason why the log cabin Republicans are asking for a booth is because they've been around for something like 40 years.
Transsexuals have been around for 40 years, too.
As far as I know, there's no transsexual Republican group, but yet there is a log cabin Republican...
If there's...
Hold on a second. If there was some transsexual Republican group that spent all of its time focused on individual liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government, and they worked really hard to elect candidates, and they were effective at it, as the log cabin Republicans have, I think there'd be a hard case for us to say, no, they can't have a booth, because they have been doing everything they should.
Okay. So you would support a transsexual booth at...
In that hypothetical situation, okay. I can't say you can...
So my last example, what about somebody like Richard Spencer? He actually agrees with log cabin Republicans. Richard Spencer is a neo-Nazi. He's a terrible person.
Okay.
But he was one of the first people to endorse Trump. He identifies as a Republican. He believes in small, limited government. And he's pro-LGBTQ. So he's literally 80% your ally. But he's 20% your enemy in the sense that he's a white supremacist.
I mean, he hates people. So.
But hold on. So that's exactly why I wanted to draw a division between the pro-abortion group and this log cabin Republicans. Because they're not equivalent. Going back to those three principles, individual liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government, the log cabin Republicans, being gay, does not violate the individual liberty, personal responsibility, or limited government principles. There's nothing about being gay that violates that.
But I think being a Republican is
But being pro-abortion does.
Or a neo-Nazi.
Because if you kill a child in the womb, that is an innocent child that has not committed a crime, and therefore you are depriving that child of individual liberty.
But the feminists make that argument.
And you're taking away the personal responsibility of that mother.
So the feminists or the pro-abortionists make that argument, actually using that against you. Is that in my individual? They say this, and I'm anti-abortion fully, but they say this is my individual liberty. It's my body. It's my individual
liberty. And that's fine. Like, they can make that argument. And I think we agree on the argument that, sure... However, your individual liberty does not give you the right to kill another person's individual liberty.
But see, this is the
and
problem.
And that's the difference
is
between
that
the
we're
two.
We're arguing about these fundamental things where if we just followed the planks, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
But why shouldn't we argue about these things? Why shouldn't
that's,
we
that's what that's the that's the that's the common like give me 1 second, I promise I'll let you. That's the common phrase when you apply it to like immigration. Oh, I support immigration. They can come in here, but they have to come in legally. We'll apply the same thing to the booths. We support any in his argument, we support any booth as long as they follow the rules.
But
and if you want to have a booth, we'll first change the planks.
But
and then they give them
I'll give you a very small, really insignificant example of a plank that we in the Young Republicans did not have. So we didn't agree with the platform, and yet we worked from inside the party to get it in there. So hemp was not illegal in Texas. The growing of hemp, the use of hemp, which is a byproduct of a marijuana plant.
Oh, I love this topic.
It's used for like clothing. It's not, you can't smoke hemp.
And we can make a gazillion dollars in the state of Texas by farming it.
And so that was something that the platform did not talk about. Our platform actually had clear things saying marijuana as a whole is bad and we shouldn't support it. And the Young Republicans worked hard for years to get that in the plank. The hemp provision, the saying we support hemp and the growing of hemp.
So you changed the plank.
And that, we changed the plank, which changed policy. I think we all agree that growing of hemp is not really a problem. That's a good thing for the economy. And Sid Miller,
he fully support.
Right, exactly.
So, but you changed the plank first before, like, you didn't set up a pro, you didn't look to set up a pro hemp booth.
Oh, no,
before
at our booth, we would be talking about hemp before the platform plank was changed.
But your booth wasn't based around the identity of hemp. Your booth was Young Republicans.
So are you saying that the Young Republicans can let, you know, the log cabin Republicans share their booth this year? And they can
I don't
talk
think
about
that
it?
There's anything that stops a LGBTQ person from joining YR.
No, there's not.
So I don't
because
see that, so yeah, I don't
because
see
there's
problem.
No platform plank that says we as a Republican Party believe you must be a straight person.
So, but,
but there's
I
also
just...
YR doesn't have a message that says we that actively disagrees with one of the planks.
But what I just heard was we have the ability to accept you and take your vote and your support, but we have no intentions on seeing you.
There's a difference between endorsing a behavior and having a big tent. And that's actually, hold on, let's actually
but
get
that's
into...
because you call it a behavior.
is it? I mean, that's is that not what this is? It's a sexual behavior. That's a whole.
What's a sexual orientation?
This is what the plank actually talks about. When you read the plank, I think it's like 300 and something, but it actually the plank specifically talks about sexual behavior. And if we want to argue whether or not should even exist, that's a whole other topic.
To clarify, the specific part of the platform that is in contention here is not one of the planks. It's that principle around traditional marriage.
But the argument is
marriage
about
a man and a woman.
But the argument is about the planks and in the Republicans.
No, the argument is about that particular principle. When I was doing the homework,
Tony, that is what kept coming up. It's all about. I mean, I don't know the planks I don't speak party, but. Time I Googled, it was all about the whole marriage. And actually, all the comments on social media...
So, yeah, I thought it was kind of odd that there's specific language talking about behavior in the planks, right? So, plank number 316... I hate ripping off documents.
I love documents, but...
I hate it.
We love documents.
Yes, we do.
Homosexual behavior. We affirm...
And you're reading from the Republican plank of Texas or National?
Yeah, RPT.
Texas. Okay.
Texas.
Got it.
We affirm God's biblical design for marriage and sexual behavior between one biological man and one biological woman. Sexual behavior between one biological man and one biological woman. Now, we can argue and maybe we'll come to it. Hold on a second. We can argue whether or not that is silly or weird, like to talk about behavior in a political thing. There's arguments for and against that, but that's not what we're arguing. We're talking about a plank. It's a fundamental plank. And you're talking about an organization who's built around a behavior and gay marriage. And gay marriage is illegal, so that's not an argument. So around a behavior, and that doesn't agree with the plank. And that's my whole point here, and that's what I keep going back to, is we've got, why are we allowing in groups, and not just log cabin Republicans, but any group that disagrees with the planks? Because then we end up in a situation like this when we're talking about percentages and, well, you know, he's a neo-Nazi, right? I don't agree with Richard Spencer, but how much of a percentage of that is he actually maybe an ally?
It's
very silly.
I think you're taking Reagan two points. First, I think you're taking Reagan's dictum on the 80-20 rule a little too literally. Because what he actually talked about was not, if it's 80% your ally, then work with them, if it's 20% your enemy. That was not what he was talking about. What he was actually saying was the 11th commandment of just don't attack your fellow Republicans. That was the main crux of what he was trying to argue. And the reason he was talking about this big tent was he was saying, look, we have a long road to go to get conservative principles in government consistently and permanently. And that was back in the 70s when socialism was still a dirty word. And so if they had a challenge then, imagine the challenge we have now. And so I think his rule applies even more today than it did then. But I want to take it, like, it's not literally about trying to calculate specific percentages. What it's really saying is, if they agree with your core principles, work with them. They're your friend.
So if then why wouldn't you support an alright neo-Nazi then? If they identify as a Republican.
Because they don't support my core principles. They believe
a conservative Republican would say the same thing about LGBTQ. They don't support my core principles as a Christian.
Let me ask you something.
But there's core principles in the party of the Israel.
Which goes back to the planks.
I want to ask you something real quick.
Yeah.
If this group were to go on record and say, no, we have no intentions on going after the marriage rule that the Republican Party actually
wants. I think they have.
They have. Yeah. But I'm saying if they do, and they that did. Is the only barrier, then if they're coming with the support, whereas with the neo-Nazi, if you go to the rights and liberties, I guess the difference is if they have the ability to help the Republican Party despite this one situation, whereas the neo-Nazi is going to come in.
Well, neo-Nazis are crazy. They shouldn't be
holding
on.
I think let's just settle this neo-Nazi example once and for all. I mean, none of us agree that a white supremacist group should be accepted, tolerated, period.
Absolutely.
And the reason is, going back to those three principles of government, a fascist, which is what a neo-Nazi is, violates all three of them.
So, but
all three principles of government
are
violated by white supremacists.
Absolutely, but
which is why we don't have segregationists in the party.
Absolutely, but it's like, so do we? Is the qualifications for having a booth about three principles, or is it about following the planks? And it's about following the planks, and that's why the argument keeps talking about principles, but it's not about
that.
It's about the planks. They're not following the planks.
You make a really good point.
They're getting denied.
It comes back to that question of consistency, and like, should you apply the rule consistently or not? And I think
it should be.
Right. And so the real argument is, what should the rule be? And should the rule be that you have to follow every single plank? Or should the rule be that you have to follow the basic principles of government?
What's the rule now?
I argue on this.
But what's the rule now?
There is no rule now. There's a mix of like, there's no
rule. So there's no actual standard right now that you have to follow the place to have a booth. Because that's not what I read.
Well,
maybe I read something wrong.
Correct. Okay. That the specific rule is unclear. So sometimes it's you have to follow every platform plank. Sometimes you have to follow all the 10 principles. And then, but we know that there are exceptions where neither of those are followed because they're violating the basic one of supporting Democrats.
Okay, so do we agree that they should be more consistent in following their rules?
Absolutely.
Okay, so then
the question is, what's the rule? What should the rule be?
Well, according to the way they're holding it now, it's they need to follow the planks.
And that is the
argument I have.
Yeah, what does the application look like?
I look at that particular plank, and I remember when we were discussing that one. And the reason why that was not part of the argument is because it is so vague. And the real argument now is about that.
With the plank is vague?
The argument that's being made is like why they shouldn't be.
And just for our audience, that's RPT 316. Is that right? If they want to look it up.
316.
Yes. Yeah. And at that moment, just like hold your thought. We're going to take a hard break right here at 35 minutes. So just want to recognize our sponsors very quickly because we got a lot to cover here. So this special episode of Common Ground featuring conversation about mostly Republican Party planks, but but in specifically the Log Cabin Republicans, is brought to you by Elevated Roofing, which is our premier sponsor. They're here in North Texas, probably one of the largest roofing companies in the area. Been loyal to us since day one, since our first show. They said, we gave them a pitch and we told them what we were doing. They go, we want in. So it was really cool. And we thank them very much for joining us and being part of our group. If you have any problems with your roofing, they also do the gutters, they do the painting, they do the whole kabang. So if you need anybody for your roof, for your painting, for your gutters, please contact Elevated Roofing at 469-200-0582. That's 469-200-0582. And Sherry, give us a quick recap on Bell and Sparrow.
Bell and Sparrow, love them. They're a faith-based organization founded by women. And what they do is they teach women who are suffering from incarceration, trafficking, or coming out of incarceration, trafficking, abusive relationships, addiction, and they teach them sustainable skills to help them then go forward and be successful in life and support themselves. They have a couple of things right now. The Stella Projects are really cool, which is teaching them how to make consumable skills and products. And then also, sorry about that, they have this new thing. Stop. They have this new thing where they can come into your home and share their parties with you. And then if you have a group that wants to be involved, they'll come in and they'll help you do that. Kind of like Tupperware parties, but for helping. Sorry.
So if you want to help this great organization, Bell and Sparrows, please contact them at bellandsparrows.org. That's B-E-L-L-E and Sparrows with an S at the end .org. Great charity. Their sponsorship is paid by an anonymous donor, so they don't spend any of their own funds. And we appreciate that. And our last sponsor is Brace Humanity. Sherry, show the camera your beautiful bracelets.
This one is from Make-A-Wish.
Make-A-Wish Foundation bracelet and their standard yacht bracelet. If you go to their website, bracehumanity.com, and you put in the promo Common, C-O-M-M-O-N, for Common Ground, you will receive a 25% discount. Great Valentine's gifts for men and women. Bracehumanity.com. Thank you for our sponsors. We are back real quick, faster than normally. And we want to continue this. And Hayden, you were about to make a point, so I'm sorry to interrupt you. Do you recall what you were talking about?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
So the crux of the arguments that at least I've been hearing as to why the Log Cabin should not be made a coalition or given a booth is that they do not agree with one of the principles, which is the traditional marriage principle.
Which is a plank.
I'm trying really hard to make sure I'm really clear on the specific details there because the platform is very archaic and that's one of the challenges we have with it. But there is a clear distinction between three different groups of planks. There is a legislative priority plank, and that's like the highest level. This is what we are saying we are pushing hardest for in the legislative session. The second group are the principles. And then the third group are the planks themselves. And so what I have heard is a lot of discussion around the principle of traditional marriage between a biological man and woman. The plank one I have not heard a lot of discussion on. And I think the reason is because it has such messy language around behaviors in there. Because it,
you're being so nice. What I have read
Let him finish his point.
The point I'm making
I'm going to yell card you again.
The point I'm making is that I think there can be a legitimate discussion around the principal one, the traditional marriage. And I think the log cabin Republicans traditionally have done a good job of trying to make a nuanced argument there. But on the plank, that thing, in my mind, is not excusable. You cannot say that a behavior like being gay is somehow not allowed in the Republican Party. Now, the traditional marriage thing, part of that plank, that's one thing. But saying you cannot have the behavior of being gay, not
cool. So you're okay with the plank that says they shouldn't be allowed to get married or have...
That's not what the principle says. The principle says that traditional marriage is between a biological man and a biological woman.
Okay, and you support that plank?
Yes.
Okay. But my problem is, you call these planks or these beliefs that people have in some of these planks as archaic, and a lot of people identify
that. No.
As...
I said arcane.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of arcane is just it's a lot of minutia. It's just hard to get through. Right. It's like reading a law textbook. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of stuff, and it's difficult to get through the details.
And see, that's where we're at is it's obviously very clear they're a mess, but they have these planks and they need to be followed. And again, it hasn't been fair to the log cabin Republicans that they haven't been following it, but it should be still enforced. I mean, it's very obvious. And I think that if you don't clearly know either what is or what isn't, because it sounds like you're not even sure exactly how this works.
I'm sure how it works. What I'm not clear is if anyone's actually arguing that plank is the reason they should be excluded. I've only heard them being argued on the principle part. And there are different languages between the two.
The only argument I hear from what I've been reading up on in social media is that these awful gay drag queens are going to take down my Christian faith and party. So we can sit here and decorate it with planks. But that is the majority of the communication coming from the public. It is one side or the other.
Well, I don't know if it's a log cabin Republican. I wouldn't even say it was log cabin Republicans that are specifically responsible for that. But I think there's a lot of people out there that are kind of afraid of where our country's going. I mean, I read something. Sesame Street had this prime character coming out, and it was a guy in a dress. And it was just like, this is... I used to be able to watch Sesame Street safely and as a kid. And now, if I had a child, I'd be afraid to turn on PBS on Saturday just because this kid's going to be exposed to this kind of crazy stuff.
That's the right? If Sesame Street decides to do that, then they do that. And then you choose the action, you choose the consequence. People stop watching.
We're seeing that enforced, and maybe this isn't the topic, but like we're seeing that enforced... in everything, right? I mean, we look at statistics, right? And I think the statistic, and I think this, I'm being very generous when I say this, is gay people make up 10% of the population. And I think it's actually a lot lower. In Texas, I think it's 4%. But let's just say they make 10% of the whole U.S. population. But
a lot of voters.
I can't turn on the TV without 20 different diversity LGBTQ characters, and it's like constantly thrown in my face. And if you're coming from a traditional family Christian belief system, that's not something you want your kids to do.
So should we alienate Muslims and Jews?
Muslims and Jews are also there's plenty of stuff in the Quran and the Torah that actually is against LGBTQ
stuff. No, what I'm saying in general, once you put a label on the party. Yeah. Like I read again once we posted this that you had a lot of very religious Christians saying, that's totally wrong, and this is the party of Christians. And you know, when you start narrowing a party under ideology or
I agree with you. We shouldn't be doing that. We have tents within tents, right? That's why I'm so against all these identity labels. I'm actually really not. That's why when I've been introduced at speeches as, oh, Tony Ortiz is Hispanic Republican for Trump, and I have to immediately correct them and say stop. Like, don't label
them. Don't market
me. Market me as some diversity shill. Like, here you are, this Hispanic guy that votes for Trump. I hate that, because what we're doing is, that's what the Democrats do, right? They have identity labels.
No, honey, that's
but
what
don't they do that?
Does.
But Tony, don't they do that to draw? That. Don't they do that to draw more people into the party?
That's not
Let's face
what got,
it.
See, so, so,
but that's not what drew you in. But
well,
say,
no, but like this is what not a lot of people have felt. For full disclosure, I was a Democrat for a good chunk of my life.
Oh my gosh, let's get out of here.
I know,
just
right?
Kidding.
But it wasn't until. You know, and props to Hayden for realizing it much sooner, because he's much younger than me. Again, happy birthday. But I, at his age, I was still a Democrat. I'm 34 now, but at his age, I was still a Democrat. But it was when Trump ran, and he initially didn't pander to any side. I saw a guy that got up that loved his country so much, But he was angry. He really was angry at the way this country was going, and he wanted to protect us with a big, beautiful wall. He wanted to make America great again. And that was kind of my start into the realization, like, hey, like, I don't like the way our country's going either. And I was on board with Trump day one. A lot of people weren't, and there's no problem with that. But that's the beauty of the Republican Party, is we do have a big tent, but we shouldn't have these little mini tents all within it to just casually hop into the tent, pull them out and say, oh, I need my Hispanic today to shill for Hispanics. Or I need my black-based African-American Trump supporter to come in and shill for black votes. Why are we not just advertising as we love America, we're pro this on fiscal issues, we're pro this on social issues, and let's just all identify as American-loving patriots.
Go ahead,
that's outreach.
Go ahead,
not the shilling for identity.
I think we're on exactly the same page about identity politics. We completely agree identity politics. Hold on a second. We completely agree identity politics is not good. We do not like that. We do not think that should be the message we send. And that's not the message we send. And if you look, so you're talking about identities, two really big identities that are in the party right now is the Young Republicans, so an age identity, and then the Republican Women, which is the largest group of clubs in the state and in the country. That's an identity, a gender. And yet we don't say those are wrong, because the point of those is not saying, like, come vote the Republicans because we have a lot of young people, or come vote the Republicans
because
we have a lot of women.
No, I get it.
Those are ambassadors to the different communities. They are people who, like, I can go to the people who are my age, who are my peers, and I can talk to them in the same age bracket because we have the same life situation, and I can bring them into the party through the same message you all talk about, which is about those three principles of government, and I can bring them in that way. That's the purpose of those things.
That's exactly what the Democrats do, is they have a million ambassadors. They have one for each 26,000 yeah.
No, there's a huge difference. Because you were talking about pulling someone out.
Well, Hayden Fish, go ahead.
You were talking about, like, going up, well, we're going on CNN today, and we're going to be talking about some kind of African-American issue. Pull our African-American person out.
Don't we do that?
No.
It happens all the time.
You see
it consistently.
That's not what we're talking about with this coalition status with the Log Cabin Republicans, or with the Young Republicans, or with Republican Women. That's not what we're there for. We're there to go into the communities. Not on, like, it's not about pulling one person out, having a spokesperson.
Well, I wouldn't.
It's about having people.
So then, Tony, when you get rid of the coalitions, anyway, based on your point.
Well, first off, I wouldn't compare being gay with being Hispanic. I mean, that's not really a fair thing to Hispanics or women, really.
So you...
Which I think it's a lot. I think maybe to all women, really, frankly. But I'm not a woman, so I'm not going to speak for them. The problem happens when you create... People are naturally tribal, right?
Right.
And we're like that with sports. I mean, look how hard it is to convince somebody when they move from their home state to support the new state they come to, right? You see that so much with sports. You can't... Even if they lose all the time, you've got your diehard fans that... I don't watch football, but
I'm a loser.
Oh, you're in trouble now.
You didn't say you're not a Cowboys fan.
I didn't
you
say
just
that.
Said you're not football.
Well, I'm a loser Jets fan, so
see,
he's
right. You identify as a Texan, right?
Of course.
Yeah, but you're tribal too.
I support
Jets,
the Cowboys because they bring in a lot of money for the state of Texas.
There you go.
So we end up reinforcing identity politics and tribalism, right? And then you get people in the party that want to put tribal interests ahead of other tribes. I mean, it's just kind of a natural thing, even with sports, with anything. You see that with pro-women groups, that they're like, oh, pro-women power, we need to push more women into the workplace, and they've actually been really successful with that, and now you're seeing more men that are, like, not in STEM fields, and even the male suicide rate is higher than women, but they're constantly pushing themselves forward. You never really... They're constantly talking about their issues.
Yeah, but I think part of that comes from the fact that there was an issue for them to go against in the first place. I don't think women got up one day and said, oh, I don't have anything to do. Let's go work really hard to be acknowledged in the workforce. So I get what you're saying, though. He's kind of right. I get what both of you are saying, because... Indirectly, it's still going to get marketed.
What you're highlighting is a real risk of, if you have your whole group of supporters based around tribes, that it runs a risk of them breaking into factions and wanting to only support their factions. I think, again, the Young Republicans and the Republican Women are a good example of how that can not happen.
Yeah.
How you can have these kind of groups that are ambassadors and still not have tribalism. Because we've been around for Republican Women for over 100 years. And Young Republicans for 85 actually this year. And I don't think that, like, Young Republicans are going around, I don't know of any example of us going around saying, we need this policy because our tribe, the young people, need it. What we do say is young people are worried about this thing. Yeah, we're still talking about the principles of government. Exactly. We're still pushing our candidates. We're still doing everything that anyone else in the party does. And it's exactly whatever
you're attaching an extra thing to it. For example, marijuana usage, right? That's a big issue for young people. But I think the majority, and I don't have the stats on me, obviously, but because we're not here to talk about marijuana usage, but I think the majority of the Republican Party, if you take out the young, right, the young Republicans of, 40 and young, under?
Yes.
Which I think is kind of too much for young. I think if you're 40 years older,
should be that middle still, age.
Like I wouldn't call myself young.
We're adjusting as life expectancy goes up.
There
you go. if you're 40 years old, you're still calling yourself a young Republican. Maybe you need to, I don't know, check yourself out. But it's kind of weird. But you're pushing something at being young, your identity that you align with. You're pushing something on the party, which is essentially tribalism. You've got this identity, right, that you gather behind.
But the party accepted it.
No, the party asked for it.
Okay, that's
the young Republicans were created by the President of the United States and the Republican Party back in the 1930s. We didn't like go out and the young people said like we want our own thing. We were asked to do this because we needed to have a way of reaching the young population. That was the point of this.
And I think that's the core where we disagree at a core level. I don't think that we should be using identity politics to kind of try to get more votes. And because that's, again, it goes back to what I said. We're creating tribes, and tribes naturally promote their own value. We should be the tribe should be conservative Americans. That's our tribe. That should be our only choice.
I agree with you, but then what does that look like? Because is that possible?
Like, well, it looks like Trump's campaign.
I'm not a Republican.
It looks like Trump's campaign.
I'm not a Republican or a Democrat.
Well, Trump is for gay rights. I mean,
absolutely. So are a lot of
the log cabin, actually.
Right.
Yeah. So are a lot of people, so but
he's the leader of the party right now.
Yeah, and it's actually really interesting because I was surprised by this myself. The percentage of gay people that voted Republican was higher in 2010 than it was in 2018. And you've got the most pro-gay Republican president ever in history. And it's like dramatically low. Support for Republicans in 2010 by the LGBTQ community was 37% in 2010. 37%.
Well, that was more of a moderate candidate too. So.
And now for Trump and for his, and in 2018 for that the Republican Party as a whole, which is run by Trump, the representative of, it was like 18%. And it's like, but we've seen more pro-gay stuff ever than ever before. 2010, I don't remember, like, turning on Netflix and being bombarded with literally, like, gay this,
well,
and
we're
feminist
gonna
this.
Well, we're going to have
to
have another show.
We just, like, stop. Yeah. I think you're pulling, crazy. Like, five different things into one.
Yeah, let's
I was going to say, we're going to need another show for that.
Right, but you did make a point, and this is a little while ago, as I was trying to get it at the time. You were talking a lot about the faith-based, and the fact, like, that's one of the big contentions here. I think that's actually a really good way of thinking about this particular issue. Like, is this a fight between different faiths or different beliefs of faith? And I don't think it is, because a lot of the members of the Log Cabin Republicans are actually Christians themselves.
I have a Catholics. Problem with you specifically targeting Christians, because there's but you mentioned Christians, because the Quran and the Torah also have their own stances and views on homosexuality.
The point I make, I'm not saying that, like, Christians are somehow wrong here, right? They're the problem. I'm merely saying that it's not like there is a stark divide between those of faith and those not of faith.
Are you saying there's not?
I think there absolutely is. I think Facebook comments do so. If you don't think that there is,
I'm
not
a Christian and I am nonpartisan, don't speak party, and I am so tired of being told that the Republican Party is the Christian party.
I think this
and
is it right here.
Yeah, it really is. I hear it all day long.
That's exactly the point I'm making.
Because you've been thrown in a tribe, right?
I don't do tribe. I don't do party. I think it's all crazy. But
so
I'm
you're
a Christian.
With me on this, that you're anti-tribe.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said you...
Tribe. You've been thrown into a tribe, though. You've been affected
the
by
word
this tribalism.
Anti.
And this label,
but then you have
right?
a lot
well,
to
I'm
change in the Republican platform.
Well, I'm not running for it.
Well, I'm a Christian first and foremost. Yeah. And so I get frustrated when I'm trying to be shoved that it's Republican first, Christian second. Nobody wants to say it to me that way because they know it's wrong, but that's how I'm hearing it.
And I think
it.
That's how a lot of traditionalists and Christian conservatives feel, is that they're Christian first, they're not Republican first. And so when you try to change their fundamental values and say, well, you just need to support something just because it has an R next to its name and it wears the color red, they're like, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm a conservative Christian first.
So the point I was making was that even within the Log Cabin Republicans, there are people who say they are Christian. People who go to church religiously. People who I've known who are better Christians than a lot of other ones.
Oh, yeah.
Really devout Catholics, specifically. But of all denominations. And so I think it's a mistake for us to say, well, it's a battle between Christians and the LGBT community. Because it's not. It's not what it is at all here. I think that's exactly why it's so hard to say, let's instantiate our morals in our platform. Because who's to say what your morals are supposed to be? You're a Christian, and like you're also maybe a Republican, maybe not. Like, why should those two things be equivalent?
Well, morals aren't subjective. It's just if you're a Christian, you know where you get your morals from. It's very easy. It's an easy question.
They
are subjective because your morals as a Christian are different from someone else's morals as a Muslim or someone else's morals as a Jew. Like, that's not your determination.
But the Republican Party of Texas wasn't founded on like atheist view.
I understand that. And I'm not arguing.
It's easy. But we're also that's what our standard. That's where our starting base point is.
Yeah, but then there are churches that preach anti. There are Christians that rally at gay soldiers' funerals. There are preachers who preach anti-homosexuality, but then there are other churches.
They're not starting.
But there are other churches that say we welcome the LGBTQ community here. So. What he's trying to say is it's not finite. It's not black and white.
I would argue that the Bible and values and Christian values are very black and white. I don't think that they're up for debate. I don't consider that.
I did not bring this up because I wanted to have a debate around Christian values.
Yeah, it's another show.
What I really wanted to make sure in this whole conversation, because I've seen a lot of really nasty things on social media. What I really want to say is, like, look, this is not a battle between I'm a Christian and you're gay. That's not what the debate here is, and I want to make sure I try to bring down that fervor and that temper right now, because that's just going to hurt us as a whole. We're not having the right conversation when we're talking about, like, I'm a Christian or you're gay or whatever it is. That's not the right conversation.
Do you agree with that, Tony?
Well, I think it's... I don't know why we keep attacking Christians. I don't think it's just a Christian...
Exactly my point. I don't want us to be attacking
because
Christians.
Because it's...
But Tony didn't answer.
I don't really understand the question.
Do you agree with what he just said?
Well, and I'm going to answer this then. So I don't think it's just a Christian issue. I think there's plenty of faiths that don't agree with that lifestyle. My argument is that it's a plank issue. It's a laws issue. It goes back to that goofy, I'm going to say it, boomer saying, where it's like, we have support immigration. They should come in, but they should come in legally. It's if they want a booth, they can have a booth maybe, but they need to do it legally, and you need to change the planks first. And I think a lot of Republicans, conservative Christian Republicans, will have a very big problem if you go around changing the Republican Party's core issues, which are founded on a core Christian belief. And so that's where all this gets mumbled jumbled in.
I think you might make the party smaller, though, Tony, and then you lose elections.
Are we there just to win and sacrifice our values? Well, isn't it for the greater good? Our values. And frankly, I'm in that party where I don't care if I'm not here to be popular. I'm not here to be liked. I'm not here to win. I'm here to
be a man. So then shouldn't you be in the conservative party? Because
I'm not a part of a Republican Party. Okay. I'm not trying to set up a booth. He's the part of the Republican Party. I'm a conservative Christian traditionalist.
Okay. So you're not in the party.
I support a lot of what the party is. And if you ask me, are you Republican or a Democrat, I would say, yes, I'm a Republican, I suppose. But I don't put that above my Christian values. And I don't even put that above being a man.
And that's good for our audience to hear. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But I think if we want to start testing about giving into little things and making big changes because, hey, we're going to win elections, I would say, well, let's just look at California. Look, they've already done the beta test for us. We don't need to test it out. We can look at states like California and how we can all agree that California hasn't gotten better. It's actually consistently gotten worse. And this giving in on fundamental beliefs or starting to change things because some guy wants to wear a furry suit and be identified and recognized in the party, and I'm not saying that's at all what the call count is trying to do, but we start getting into like little minority groups and creating more tribes. It's hurt everyone, not just Republicans, but it's hurt the Democrats. Look at the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party of 2020 is not the same as the Democrat Party of the 1990s. I mean, back when I was growing up, if you were a child and you identified as a communist, if I was in high school and some kid said he was a communist, you were the weirdo. You were a strange kid. You were the kid that wore all black and the trench coat. You were goofy. Nowadays, it's easier to come out as a communist in high school than it is to come out as a Christian conservative.
Okay, so at this point, we have a lot of dialogue going back and forth. But we have to close it down because otherwise our audience really loses their attention at about an hour. We've done our own data analytics on that. So I'm going to give you each about 2 minutes to really summarize your position, why or why not the Log Cabin Republicans, because that's basically what this show was about, should be allowed a booth and or coalition or should not. I'll let you go first, Tony, and then
I think Amy, I already spent like 3 minutes giving my
opinion. I know.
She's laughing at me because I'm
well,
famous.
Well, no, I'm laughing because it was what we ended with. That was like a whole other topic.
Right. So. I know, like, okay. So that means you don't have any summary?
Well, it's my famous. I gave you 30 seconds. Going on a rant. Yeah, 30 seconds is good. So yeah. I think I agree with this in the sense of Log Cabin Republicans are being treated unfairly, but not for the sole reason of the rules aren't being enforced fairly. The Republican Party is strictly choosing on who they want to enforce the rules on, and I disagree with that. I have my own Christian conservative beliefs on how the Log Cabin lives their lives, but I'm not. I'm a Christian. I'm a man. I love everyone. I don't love behaviors. I love people. Right. So I love every man and woman. And I guess we have 34 genders, so you can add that to the list. I love that too. But I don't have to love the behavior. And so I'm just saying we should just follow the rules. That's it. It's very simple. And we should apply that to everyone. And if you want to add this group in, well, you should start changing the planks and changing the rules of the Republican Party. And that's where I think a lot of Christian conservatives are going to start to have a major problem. And maybe that's why it hasn't been done.
Okay. And Hayden, you get to wrap us up on this conversation. Go ahead.
So first, I actually want to start by acknowledging that there are a lot of really thoughtful people in the SREC, the State Republican Executive Committee, who are trying to do the right thing on this one. I don't agree with a lot of the votes they are casting on this particular issue, but I respect them as individuals. I think the vice chair in particular has been very thoughtful on this issue and tried to reach out to a lot of people, tried to hear all different sides. So I want to make sure it's clear we are not saying that they are somehow bad people for doing this. What I will say is I think that this particular issue, as Tony said, is a question of fairness. One, so need to make sure you're applying the rules fairly. And then second, it's a question of what do we believe is the purpose of a political party? What's the purpose of a group that is trying to elect representatives to a government? And my belief is that the purpose of that party is to elect people. It's to make sure that we have a broad enough coalition to elect people who will slowly get our government to the place we want it to be, which is individual liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government. And if there's a group that fights for the same things and fights for the same candidates and has been doing that for decades and they want to become an official part of the party, that's perfectly fine. That is a good thing for us to do. We should accept them and welcome them in. And that's not what's happening right now. And I think that is a challenge that the party needs to overcome. It's something that we need to reconcile within ourselves. But I also think it's important for us to make sure we're taking a step back and saying, as Tony said, we may not agree with the behaviors, but we love these people as individuals. And that's a really important distinction that I think too many people are not making in this particular debate. And so if we leave anything from this whole discussion, I think that's the one thing I want us to leave with, is we need to respect each other as individuals, and even if we disagree with the behaviors.
Okay. Thank you so much. Do you have any more? Okay. So that was a very healthy discussion. Thank you both, Tony Ortiz.
I got him a...
Look at this.
You know, it's funny because I was going to wrap it. And I realized
don't rant because we're running out of time.
So I was going to wrap it, but I only had Christmas wrapping paper. So I asked my girlfriend if we had any like bags, and all we have is love, which is maybe somewhat appropriate.
There it is.
No, you should open it. It's totally appropriate, I promise.
Okay, so I want to thank our guest, Tony Ortiz, and Hayden Padgett. Thank you so much for coming in. We have a great show coming up this Thursday. We have HD 66. Which is the Democrat primary, House District 66, with Sharon Hirsch and Amy Garza Lopez in-house. So hopefully you'll pay attention. Everybody have a great day. God bless. Take care.
Thanks, guys.